drink.
And where are we holding?
We're holding on Ezrat Hashem, Kaf Aleph, Hamad Aleph. David Amelech.
21A?
21A4 in the Oxford. 21A4. What about David Amelech? Keep going.
Okay.
Okay.
You said A4. 21A4.
21A. Learning about David Amelech and his wives. Right, let's just recap. Maximum number of wives is?
18.
According to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says?
He's concerned about a wife turning your heart away from Hashem.
They both are. But what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon?
Oh, one
Tanakhama said 18.
One said 20. Oh, wait, I'm getting it wrong. 24?
No, those were later options. They both, all the, in the Mishnah, they all talked about 18. The Tanakhama just said 18, Sam.
Just 18 doesn't matter what the like or what the title affects you. That's what you want. You have as many more as you want. Until
it begins to take you away from what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And then
Rabbi Shimon says that even one protects
you
away from Yeshua. Right, but what about the Garden of Peace? What? They didn't have it then. Okay, so there we go. So then we learned about David Melech, we looked at it different ways. Now we are at Amar Rabbi Hud, Amar Rab. First line's up, Amar Rabbi Huda. David had 400 kids. First of all, so far we only know that he had six wives. But then we said he took. What did we say? We took. He said. We said that he took. Can we say that? More wives and filled the quota up to 18. Uh-huh. We said he originally had six, and then he filled them up with concubines and wives. To 18. Anyway, we had 400 children. Where did the 400 children come from? They certainly didn't come from 18. No, they didn't come from 18 wives. 18 wives can't, generally speaking, absent miracles, have 400 kids between them. So we'll see now. So it says he had 400 kids. Albama or Yuladim? Are you Ladavid? So, that is. He had 400 kids.
I'm trying to find where you are.
Can I talk to you too? Oh,
okay.
Right, so 400 kids. Right? That's a lot of nappies to change.
Oy.
A lot of babysitting.
Headwise.
A lot of stuff. A lot of kittens to buy.
What's interesting is only 400. And Abraham bought him, the headphones was 400. And then Esau came 400.
Every time a number is mentioned, it has significance. Particularly when if he said he had two kids, stop. But if it said he had 400, like you say, it's a lot. You could be sure, well, it depends.
Yeah, I know.
You could say he had a lot, or you could say actually that's 400, but then. He specifically had 400. He was getting 398. Like, well, we need two more to fill the quota. We got 400, right? We better stop now because we've got to the 400. But either way, he said made it.
But okay.
What?
400. It is.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, yeah. That was Einar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to war, you see a woman, you go to see the first, they won't have her.
Okay.
I mean, 400 makes sense because if he is 18,
yes.
And they each had.
How many? 20, 22,
23 kids. which is not unusual because we've had Robs in North Hollywood had that at 19.
Yeah, but each one would have to have 22, 23.
Well, if you had twins.
But each one.
It's not.
You're going to get one or two who probably would have one or two or not get no hand at all. So then you have to bump the average up to 34. Like someone's got to carry the excess.
Well, that's fine. I mean, if
it's
you
it's possible. It's
twins.
Possible, but it's not normal. It's possible, but it's not normal.
It should be at least 6 by 1.
Oh, it's possible. It's possible, but it's not normal. What do you do every year for 20 years? It's possible.
I mean, if you eliminate the possibility of miscarriages because of good eating and Hashem, mostly Hashem.
So, but Tov, it wouldn't be normal. Okay, anyway, so these 400 kids, where do they come from? Kulam b'nei Yafat To'ar hayu. All of them were children of Yafat To'ar. What's Yafat To'ar?
Handsome.
What?
Handsome children.
Yeah, but it has another meaning in Torah. Yeah. Parasha.
No, he
was, but from the Varim. If you go out to war and you see a pretty woman, go out to war, you're not concentrating on your fighting, and you see a pretty woman, so what's the law?
So you saw the
pretty woman. What's the law of the Yafat To'ar? What's it? Yeah, it's later. That's afterwards.
The first takes her.
What's the first? Before she cuts her nails.
He's allowed to have sex with her.
Capture her. He's allowed to be with her. So there's two opinions in the Gemara. So the Gemara in, or is it in Kiddushin? I don't know. Kiddushin, maybe. The Gemara in Kiddushin. If you want to look at further, look at the Gemara in Kiddushin 21b. It's the whole Indian is explained over there. So my pocket, what happens with your fatwa? So one opinion is, which is the majority opinion, which is followed, is that the soldier is allowed to be with the woman there and then on the battlefield once. And then he takes her home with him, and she has to mourn her parents for 30 days, lets her hair grow, lets her nails grow long. And then if he still wants to marry her after that, then she performs gerut, becomes Jewish, and then they marry. Right? That's one view of how it works. The basis of that is that at least one of the explanations is that the Torah is not per se permitting this sort of activity, effectively rape, permitting it, but it's recognizing that unless you bring it into a legal framework, the Yetzirah of a man in that situation, in a time of war, can't deal with such matters. The time of war, when a person's killing and fears for his life, etc., he's not really considering niceties of asking the father if he can go on a date with the daughter, especially if he's been away from his family, whatever, everything that goes on in an army. The other thing is that one of the commentators points out that the woman would deliberately try to attract the enemy soldiers. I'm not sure why. In order to save their own lives or to distract them from killing the locals.
Can it be that the... Well, then let's see. verses where he said, Balak, there is one way, but I shouldn't go by. And your eyes go to the open. So maybe you're out or request life. You think, at one point, that the eyes go away from Hashem. Maybe Hashem.
Well, the other thing here is if it wasn't permitted and it happened, then it would be a big avera, and you don't want that happening in a time of war when you need Hashem's help. If you have the soldiers doing something which is an avera, then you're going to lose all the battles, right? So if you bring it into the remit, the framework of halakha, you're allowed to do it, then.
Why do we now use this parasha? Because Balak appears that the Israel just why for millions have come.
Uh-huh.
But the Jews of women.
But the Humash covers this by saying, yes, you can do this, but the consequences are the son that's going to be stoned because he's so evil.
Nachonis, Nachonis going to get that. That's down the road, but no one is thinking down the road.
Then you see, men have two women.
Yeah, that's what
Rabbi Yaakov
saying from here.
Maybe have a deeper meaning. Not in the beginning, maybe in the end. Because you see, after he
was in Israel, where it goes to. So that's one. So one opinion is that he's allowed to move with the woman there and there in the battlefield. The other opinion is no, that actually he's not. That Jewish law does not allow you to do this, and you actually have to simply capture her and take her home and do the procedure first, that she waits, then she converts, and then you marry her. After you marry her, you can be with her for the first time only after she's converted, right? And that you're not allowed to be with a Goyisha woman who hasn't converted and hasn't done nothing or whatever. It's not allowed. So according to the second opinion, and there is two clear opinions in the Gemara, we're going to see both opinions are going to be relevant in this sugya too. So according to the second opinion, he's not allowed to be with her on the battlefield. Only afterwards.
How can you? The man should keep all his family. The girl, the woman, stay. Now she has a child. She has a heart. Maybe she convert because of tears. So now the boy, then she has a son.
So this section is very difficult for a lot of reasons. We're going to see now here. One of the possible reasons that we're going to bring up here in the sugya is how even if you say that she converted, we know that we don't allow converts out of force. You've got to, you know, we push them away. We dafka push converts away, right? So how can you say over here
minimum times three
that,
times?
Right, that either she was married and converted on the battlefield, or that she converted later, when it's difficult to say that it wasn't against her will.
First, she must leave her there first. This child is not a Jew, because she was not Jewish.
So we're going to see that as the one of the opinions in this sugya. What's the status of a child if the soldier is with the Yifat Torah on the battlefield and she becomes pregnant from that union? What's the status of the child? That's what the sugya is gonna go into now.
But there's a very long.
It depends on those two different opinions.
There's a very long
footnote about when you can first be with a woman, whether or not she's convert first or not.
You don't know what come in.
What? So here, first of all, let's go back to our Gemara. What we said. We said, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab, Abama o Yiladim Hayu Lola David, 400 children that were to David. Bukulam bene Yifat Tua Hayu. They were all children of Yifat Tua, Yifat Tua. 400 female captives from the battlements. Top. I don't know how he had any time to fight. Top. Megadale Beloriot Hayu. They grew Beloriot. What's Beloriot? A nice long cuckoo. A cuckoo. What did it say here? Yeah, it's basically what in modern Hebrew you call a cuckoo. A ponytail, we call it in England. What do you call it in the States?
Same thing.
Ponytail?
Yeah.
A ponytail. Yeah, like in Tel Aviv, a big in Tel Aviv.
No hair in the head, but in the neck.
Yeah, yeah. They allow the hair to grow down the back for a year. Right, it's called Beloriot. Right, it was a style of pagans. And the Jews were forbidden to have their hair in the style of the Goyim, particularly like this. Right, it was forbidden to do this. It's forbidden now, it's halacha. You're not allowed to dress like the Goyim, you're not allowed to look like the Goyim, you're not allowed to have hairstyle like the Goyim. If there's something particular, if you just got a normal haircut and all the Goyim wear that normal haircut, you're not breaking a law. If they have a specific thing which identifies them, for example, a Mohican, punk Mohican, right? So if that's a Goyisha thing, which, let's say it is, I don't know, there may be poskim that say if it's not related to Avodah Zarah, it doesn't matter, but I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if it has to be related to Avodah Zarah, or even nowadays.
Well, nowadays with the punk culture, it is Avodah Zarah.
Is that Avodah Zarah?
I don't know. I mean, especially in...
That's okay, that's not something associated with growing back, as kids they don't. Only when they grow older, the goyim grow their body. You don't really see kids... Because they don't want to look like boys. Like girls, sorry. They don't want their boys to look like girls at that age. Later on, they don't mind looking like a girl. But when they're young, they don't want people to make the mistake I made, which was I thought someone's kid was a girl because he had long, blonde hair and a ponytail. And he was under the age of 3. And I hadn't yet realized that's what the Jews did. Tov, anyway, so they had, so they all had this ponytail. So Kulam Yoshvim Bakaranot Shel Zahav. They all sat in carriages of gold. I don't know what this means. It obviously means something different as well. It wasn't Sam that this happened. They sat in carriages of gold. Mahalchin Baroshe Giyasot Hayu. And they would ride at the head of the troops. Behem Hayu Baalei Agrofin Shel Beit David, and they were the strong men of the house of David. Right, so they would ride at the head of the troops with their long blonde hair. Sons of these Goyish women, what their status was, whether they were Jewish or not, who knows? So why would they do that? So according to the footnote here, one of the reasons why is it would scare the enemy, because they would see that these powerful, big, strong goyim, I don't know, obviously Jews were still short, fat, and bald, and but they captured these, and they're now fighting with them in their army, right? So
what is that? How you mindless, the woman in this moment mindless. So all the spirit what they have in their mind is like the great the giants,
Ancient
come down.
Okay.
What is Rashi say? Because there are two very long footnotes in the article.
Alright, let's have a look. Let's see if there's in here. Nope, nothing on there. Tom, okay, so that's the intro. So now, we're going to ask about, based on this, we just learned. We're going to look at the story of Amnon and Tamar. Who were Amnon and Tamar? Who were they from the family of? Amnon and Tamar were from... Amnon and Tamar were brother and sister. Who was their dad?
David.
David HaMelech was the father of Amnon and Tamar, their brother and sister.
And how was the sister
of sister of all of them. Brother and sister of Amnon and Absalom.
Okay,
all of them.
Ah,
okay. Yep. So what happened? So we know the unfortunate story, very known, right? Is that Tamar was attacked, raped by Amnon. The Tanakh, when you read it, you'll see over there that Tamar realizes what's about to happen, and she says to Amnon, "Wait, and we'll ask permission from my father, our father, and then we'll go ahead and get married properly." So they ask, "Well, how could she even suggest that if they were brother and sister?" Answer was, she wasn't a proper sister. She was the daughter of a Yifat Tawal, who, and therefore she could have married, legally married Amnon. One of the explanations. She could.
Say that over again.
So because she was the daughter of a Yifat Tawal. Here, look, we're going to say it now. I'll just explain what it's going to say now here. So let me read it here and I'm going to explain it. Amar Rabbi Huda Amar Rav. Rabbi Huda says the name of Rav. Tamar Bat Yafat Tawar Haita. Tamar was a daughter of Yafat Tawar. Right? Tamar was a daughter of one of these captives of war who, according to one opinion, right, the first opinion that we heard of, says that the method of the procedure that the Torah allows is for the soldier to be with the woman on the battlefield without her converting, and then any offspring from that union is not Jewish because she hasn't yet converted, she's just simply a goy. Tamar was such an offspring of the Yifat Tawar, so she was not Jewish when she was born, meaning she wasn't Jewish at all, so she continued not to be Jewish. She was born from a non-Jewish mother who later converted when she was brought to the palace and waited 30 days and grew her nails and didn't shave her head. But at that point, she wasn't Jewish. So Tamar wasn't Jewish. And therefore, the rule which forbids a person to marry his sister doesn't apply if she's not Jewish. It's not a real sister, not counted in halachically as a real sister. Rabbinically, it might be forbidden, I don't know. But to write her. No. Yeah, after she converts, she's a new Briah Chadasha. She doesn't have a father and mother, Abraham and Sarah. They don't have the same father and mother. Yeah, in our language, we call the Seth. But in halakhically, there's no soul connection between the two. There's no connection, right? There's no familial connection, halakhically. She has a new neshama. She was a goy, and now she's a Jew. So there's no prohibition, at least a writer prohibition, on marrying. Amnon's mother was Jewish. One of David's proper wives, one of the six that we listed. Probably, yeah. If we look back we listed the six. We said. These are the sons born to David in Hebron: Achinoam, Naval, Absalom, Adonia, Yisrael. No, so probably he was born later than that. He was born later than Hebron. David was born in Hebron.
First one was Amnon.
Who?
Amnon. Yeah. Well, he was born right.
Amnon. Yafeh. To Achinoam. Yofi. Amnon. So Amnon was the firstborn. Amnon was the firstborn, born to Achinoam, right? The Bechor, it's always the Bechor that stuffs it up. Nahon? Tom. Anyway, so, where are we? Yes, so, he could have married her. Shenema, like it says, Va'ata debarna al ha-melech ki lo yimna'eni mimcha. Tamar says to her brother, now speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. Right? She saw what was about to happen, and she says, wait a minute, let's do this properly if you're set on the idea. Right? Hold your horses. Obviously, Yitzhar was too big, and he wasn't able to do that. Achte mi hava shereili. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Achte mi hava shereili. If it was really the sister, would he have permitted it? Would David HaMelech have really allowed it if she was a proper sister? No. Ela shmamina. Rather, you can learn from here. She was the daughter of Yifat Torah. So that's the proof that the Gemara brings, that she must have been the daughter of Yifat Torah, because otherwise she couldn't have said such a thing. I mean, it'd be a nice stalling tactic, but it wouldn't have worked. So, Tov, let's stop there. But Tov, yeah. Anyway, the next bit's interesting. If that wasn't interesting enough, well, Bezrat Hashem, do that tomorrow. But this is one of the proofs for the view that the Yifat Torah is the way the first view of the Yifat Torah, which is that a person is allowed to be with the woman on the battlefield without her being converted. According to the second view, they have to explain this sugi differently. That because according to the second view, even a daughter of the Yifat Torah is Jewish because you're not allowed to be with the Yifat Torah until she converts first. So according to that view, she is Jewish. And then they couldn't have had this kasha on Shmuel, on the book of Shmuel. One view, one explanation of the kasha is that even according to the second opinion that says that you're not allowed to be with a woman on the battlefield, you have to bring her home first, wait 30 days, then convert her, and then you can be with her. So then she's a daughter of that marriage, so she should be halakhically Jewish, what's the problem? So one of the answers to that is it's still problematic because to be a convert, you can't be a forcible convert. And these women were converted, had no desire to be converted. They were captives, right? So they were doing it because they had no choice. So it wasn't a real conversion, and therefore they were still not Jewish, even though they converted, and therefore the daughters or the offspring of a Yifat Torah were still considered to be not a Jew, even though they were, so to speak, converted in order to comply with halakha. But that's the other view that explains why the Tamar was still available to marry them, even if, according to the second view, they had to convert first before you could be with them. Tov, Lined, I think myself and Rav Avraham Soskil are going to do a siyum now on the first perek of Makot. That we just about think we maybe that might have finished. Shabbat Shalom. Ah? Avraham Michael Wutter. Should be here. I hope he's here. If he comes in, he's here. I spoke to him this morning.
Same day,
soon,
tonight.
Final Katabai tonight. Anyone who wants to come is very welcome to come.
Same day.
8:30 at Chuldan Aviyah. Shalom Rabbi Eliezer. the Hanukkah Tabaya tonight. You're very welcome to join us if you're available. 8:30. I'll put the address, the details on the board over there. Fuldanavia, just over the way.
There's a little history on that name.
I've never heard of it. Fuldanavia? I'd like to. A prophetess called Hulda.
Was she evil?
Was she evil? I hope not.
Like
She was.
You ever heard of that? I never heard of that. Weasel.
The weasel.
Yeah.
Hulda. The boar and the Hulda.
Sure. Okay, we must have waited a year. You're going
to
do it.
I meant to do it in 30 days, and my wife wanted to do it already last week. I didn't invite him, but I'm joyed because that's a show coming. I just got told about that. I didn't know about that. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to ask Rav Dror if he can wave the knife.
I didn't invite him.
What?
I won't.